$1 million rewards to solve WA's cold cases. The ChatGPT boss calls for AI regulation and Biden's Australian trip cancelled. It's Wednesday, the 17th of May.
The West Live with Matt Tinney and Ben O'Shea.
G'day, Matty.
G'day, mate. Happy hump day.
Yes, halfway through the week. Now, some disturbing news. A man in his 40s has been hit by a ute.
Yeah, this man has been injured after being hit by an 18-year-old ute driver in Auburn Grove. He was struck on Lion Road near Colorado Parade just before 7:30 last night. Oh, this 41-year-old suffered head and leg injuries. Taken to Royal Perth this morning, he's in a serious but stable condition. So police want to speak with anybody who may have seen this pedestrian being hit or the pedestrian or ute beforehand.
Yeah, talking about things that police want to talk to people about, dozens of unsolved murders, and now the state government is putting up millions of dollars to try and figure out who done it.
Yeah, how's this? So rewards of $1 million will be offered for information about dozens of unsolved murders and missing persons cases that have haunted WA for decades. We're talking about a total of 64 suspicious deaths now attracting a reward of $1 million.
Wow.
So the reason for this is the McGowan government has overhauled this rewards system, which traditionally weighted towards cases involving kids and organised crime. Some of these cases date back more than 50 years. So we have a 1958 murder of 26-year-old Barbara Mae Williams, which is part of this overhaul. This is the first time any reward has been offered in that case. Can you believe that?
Yeah, wow.
This many years on, a $1 million reward has come for it. There's also notable ones in there, Sarah Spears, Lisa Govan, Lisa Mott, Jared Ross, also Corin Rainey in there as well. So if you're a bit strapped for cash and have some information on hand, now is probably a good time to come forward with those details.
Exactly, cost of living pressures.
Yeah.
Well, it'll be fascinating to see if shaking the tree with $1 million rewards makes a difference.
You would think it would have to. Yeah. With so many cases,
yeah.
64 cases, you can't tell me there's not at least a few people out there with information, yeah, that have never come forward.
And even if we get a couple of them solved, I think it's, yeah, a great result.
And especially in some of these cases where people may fear coming forward with information, that may have changed over many,
yep,
years.
Right.
Perhaps the person they fear is no longer alive.
Exactly. You know? If you're talking about crimes that happened 50 years,
yeah,
ago, a lot changes in 50 years. And now Coldplay, we know, is coming to Perth. Everybody's very excited about it. They answered the call for another show due to the incredible demand for the first one that's going to happen in November. The state government has now released some information on how many interstate and international visitors will be coming for it.
Yes, WA is set to welcome at least 20,000 Coldplay fans from interstate and overseas as a result of this overwhelming demand for the UK band's shows. So Premier Mark McGowan has described the rush for tickets as mind-boggling. I don't know. I feel like I would have anticipated that this would be very popular. But, you know, the queue yesterday superseded the previous day's queue. Yesterday, it was like more than 365,000,
yeah,
people in queue. I managed to get some. Managed to.
You got some tickets?
I had all my devices out.
Did you get the $40 ones?
No, I didn't get the $40. It was less than $200, which,
yeah,
I mean, it's a lot of money, obviously.
Yeah.
But I think it's pretty good considering, like, you know, it's not every day that Coldplay comes to Perth. It's not every day they come to Australia. And, you know, the technology that we have at Optus Stadium teamed with what the band usually does,
yeah,
is going to
be
incredible.
Excellent.
It's going to be excellent.
And do you know if the second show is sold out?
Don't know at this point whether it's sold out, but you would have to think it's not too far with all those people,
yeah,
know, in queue. There has been talk of a third show. You know, Koshy even suggested maybe a fourth show this morning on Sunrise.
So if they have 20,000 people, if they have 20,000 people coming into the state,
yeah,
and would you say it's reasonable to say each one would spend $1,500 minimum?
Well, is this including flights and accommodation?
No, including accommodation. Not
okay,
flights.
yeah, minimum.
So a minimum $1,500 each. So that's $30 million just,
yeah,
on its own. And I would say, and in the end, probably more than that.
And I reckon we have probably paid a lot less than that.
Yeah.
For them to come here.
Oh, yeah,
here.
I would say less than 30 mil.
Yeah, less than 30 mil.
So there you go.
Could, so big, November 18 and 19. I mean, this is the other thing. It's not too far away. Sometimes with concerts, you know, people are buying tickets well ahead of schedule.
Yeah.
You know, there was obviously a space in the schedule here and some negotiations behind the scene have allowed this to happen.
Yeah, we know what, there's no space in Joe Biden's schedule for a visit to Australia. He has pulled the pin. He was due to to Australia. It was going to be a historic stop. He was going to address the Australian Parliament, the first time a US president has done that in nearly 10 years. He was going to speak to a joint session of MPs and senators in Canberra. He couldn't do it. He let Albanese know, I think early this morning, that he wasn't going to make it, because instead he's got to fly back to Washington for crisis talks with Congress over the US debt ceiling, which is a brewing disaster. So there you go. He's still going to attend the three-day summit of G7 leaders starting on Friday in Hiroshima in Japan, but then he's going to go back to the US on Sunday.
Yeah, so now Australia is negotiating with the other leaders of the Quad to see about their travel plans.
Yeah.
Like, are they going to still come? Yeah.
I don't know. That's the thing, right? Like, it's like if you get invited to a party and then you find out that, like, your best mate's not going.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, or the birthday person's not going to be there.
I've got something on.
You've got to wash my hair. So I think, the Quad probably put that one off. But Albanese, in return, has been invited to America.
Yeah.
Biden said, look, I can't come see you. You can come see me.
See me by the end of the year.
Yeah. I'm sure Albo would do.
You can just imagine the negotiations behind this. Have you seen Diplomat on Netflix? I can just imagine it was a bit like that.
Yeah.
He's coming, he's not coming. But there's other things that there may be a ripple effect, because Barry Humphrey's state service was going to be held off at the Opera House because the Americans were demanding that it be empty before Biden's visit. So I wonder whether that'll be brought forward
now. We got shafted on that. And now, over in Ukraine, the Ukrainian government has said it shot down hypersonic missiles amid an exceptionally dense barrage fired at Kyiv overnight. Kyiv said that air defences intercepted 6 Kinzhal hypersonic missiles, which Russia has claimed can overcome all existing air defence systems. And this is where it gets interesting, right? So the Kremlin says no one can stop these Kinzhal missiles. The Ukrainians have said, well, we stopped them as part of this barrage of 18 different types of missiles. Russia has said that no, you did not stop the missiles, and in fact, one has destroyed your US-supplied Patriot air defense system. So the Ukraine has 2 Patriot air defense systems, one supplied by the US, one supplied by European countries. And if even one of them goes down for an extended period of time, it leaves Ukraine pretty vulnerable to missile attacks.
Yep.
A US official has said it was damaged, but not destroyed. They're just trying to assess whether or not it needs to be taken out of the country for repair, or if it can just be fixed up by Ukrainian mechanics, taken into the shop.
So how do you just damage it?
Well, apparently the Patriot system is made up of a number of different components. Like, there's a radar station, there's the missile launching station, there's this, you know, various parts of it, parts of the battery. And so if one of those sections can be damaged, the whole thing stops working.
Okay. But so obviously the Russians were trying to knock it out.
Yeah, yeah. And those components are kept in different areas. So you maybe knocked out one of them, but you didn't blow up the whole thing.
Yeah, gotcha.
That's what they reckon. And in America, meanwhile, so this is a fascinating story. So, you know, a lot of people are calling for regulation of artificial intelligence, which is just running rampant around the world at the moment. Well, the creator of probably the most prevalent one at the moment, ChatGPT, has fronted a US Senate committee and called on US lawmakers to regulate it. Regulate the thing
that he's created.
So Sam Altman, the CEO of OpenAI, which is the company behind ChatGPT, testified before this Senate committee overnight and said that there's a lot of issues when it comes to AI, a lot of great things, but some pitfalls that we need to be aware of as well. It said it could be as big as the printing press, but said it also could result in layoffs and there could be other unforeseen impacts of AI. And so he's called on legislators to, I guess, basically offer permits for companies that create AI and use AI. So you have to apply for a permit to use it, and that permit can be taken away. You lose your right to use AI.
Interesting.
Yeah, very interesting. And a Republican senator said that it could be as dangerous as the atomic bomb if not regulated properly. And a Democrat senator said, look, it's going to be part of the future, but it's not necessarily the future that we want.
It's very interesting, isn't it? To me, it sort of comes into the realm of cloning.
Yeah, I agree. 100% same as cloning.
You know, it can be used for positive means, it can be used negatively, and so you've got to kind of have a proper look at it.
Yeah. You got some big WA Day news for us?
Yes, big WA Day news. So Perth's Eurovision stars, Voyager, they're coming home. They're going to headline the WA Day Festival. Yes.
That's
Can you believe that? How good is that? So there's going to be a music mega show, part of this free family event at Burswood Park over the long weekend. This year, the WA Day Festival is over 2 days, so June 4 and June 5. So you've got the free concert, which will feature Voyager, Amy Shark, Baby Animals, Mark Seymour, The Undertow, a huge lineup of local talent. There's going to be a whole lot of things, you know, fireworks, the biggest drone light show, food trucks. So it's going to be a really big WA Day Festival, fingers crossed for the weather. And there'll be tons of people heading down there. This year, what's interesting is they've moved it along at Burswood Park. So it's going to be between Optus Stadium and Crown Perth.
Oh, yeah. It's going to be where the golf course is.
Yeah.
Was,
yeah.
I saw Fatboy Slim a couple of weekends ago.
Golf course. It was a great golf course.
Some of the best golf
But in any case, it's going to be in that area because it'll be more accessible. Because last year, do you remember the traffic jams last year with the drone show? Yeah.
One thing I will say, if it rains, it gets a bit soggy.
Okay. Debbie Downer over there.
Sport.
Talking about Debbie Downer, you have reason to be pretty pessimistic about the future of Super Netball at the moment, with the news that the Collingwood Magpies Super Netball team is probably going to exit the competition. Collingwood has said it's just hemorrhaging money. On-court performances have been pretty terrible. They currently sit at the bottom of the ladder.
With a
2-7 record, and yet they're struggling to attract fans to games. So Collingwood, the AFL team, just can't justify bankrolling it anymore. And Netball Australia, though, has said that they're committed to running an 8-team Super Netball competition. But currently there's a you know, player enterprise agreement sort of thing being negotiated at the moment. Currently, there are no Super Netball players under contract for next year.
Oh, wow.
So, zero. So that's a bit of a concern.
Is this where Gina Reinhart comes back
in? This is the thing, right? That certainly didn't help. The loss of that $15 million sponsorship with Hancock Prospecting last year for Netball Australia was a problem. Tourism Victoria came to the party. They visited Victoria, and they picked up the tab for that $15 million, but yeah, some challenges ahead for Super Netball.
The Wild West.
Also some challenges ahead for the British Museum. So this is the problem when you've got a long history of, you know, colonialism. All of the stuff that you flogged from various countries around the world and have displayed in your, you know, big museum in London.
Eventually,
some of those people might want that stuff back. And the latest example is the ruler of Ghana's Asante people has asked the British Museum to return gold items in its collection to his country. Otamfuo Osei Tutu II recently met with the museum's director while he was in London for King Charles's coronation. He made a little pit stop into the British Museum and said, "Hey, see all this stuff? That belongs to my family."
Did he see King Charles with his crown on and the gold and thought,
exactly,
"Hey, I want a bit of that."
Well, you know what? He's not wrong. And so this is part of a number of situations unfolding at the moment. Greece wants a bunch of artifacts returned. The Elgin marbles, as they're colloquially known.
Don't they have some of our Aboriginal artifacts?
Yes,
too?
Yes. Yeah. Ethiopia wants some ceremonial crosses, weapons, jewelry, sacred altar tablets, a bunch of other stuff returned. The Nigerian government has also formally asked the British Museum to return 900 bronzes from Benin. So there's a bit going on.
So what's
going
to be left in the museum?
Not much. Only British history.
What's the museum's point of view?
Well, they've said they don't want it. They don't want to give it back, but they're willing to loan it to these countries. So, but the countries are like, "Nah, we don't want it on loan.
We want it back. It's ours."
Yeah.
And what are the Brits saying? Well, we stole it.
Yeah. So, finders keepers.
Yeah, come steal it off.
And by finders, we mean we stole it and probably killed a whole bunch of people to do
in
so.
The process.
Yeah. And that's your news from the West Australian for Wednesday, May 17. And don't forget to subscribe to the West Live on your favourite podcast player. Matty, I'll talk to you tomorrow.
Will do. Have a great one, mate.
You've been listening to the West Live with Matt Tinney and Ben O'Shea. Could you imagine a car made out of balloons?
Welcome, rev heads.
Monday and Tuesday on Blow-Off.
Just blew my mind.
You won't believe the death-defying.
Brace the cannons, everyone.
Mind-bending creations.
This is an elimination challenge.
Don't say that.
Okay, I'll say it differently. One of you is going home. That's not any better.
The magical new competition that will blow your mind.
You're not entertained!
Blow-Off, Monday 7:30 on 7 and 7+.